All right, well, he put on the performance of a lifetime in August, and he looks to do the same on April 20th at the UCCU Center in Orem, Utah. It is the Fierce FC middleweight champion, Mike Jones. Mike, it's great to talk to you, man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Yeah, happy to be here.
I got to say, I can't wait for this return for you. I mean, August, we knew you would come to play, right? And I think everyone was shocked at just how dominant you were in that performance to take home that 185-pound belt. What was it about that performance that made you just exceed all expectation from all the masses, I would say?
I don't know. I wasn't surprised. I mean, none of my coaches was surprised. I mean, I didn't expect Jerome to fall down that easy. But other than that, like it was pretty expected.
In your eyes, what was it about that matchup that got you excited leading into that one? Because we had talked in the past and, you know, you were 0-3 going into title fights up to that point. Were there any nerves or was it really just like, this is exactly how I expected it to go? And that's how it all played out.
Nah, I mean, it played out pretty well. I mean, I actually had a full camp for that one. Like all my other title fights, I didn't really have a full camp. I just thought the matchup was really good for me.
One of the big things I wanted to talk to you about, and we can talk as much or as little about this as you want, but the BKFC fight back in December didn't go your way, but obviously a huge avenue for you to make your name and put your name out there. And also a solid performance as well, if I may say so myself. How was that experience going and doing bare knuckle? It was something you had never done before, total uncharted territory for you.
It was different, for sure, dude. It was a different world. Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to do it again. Like, I'm not going to go out like that. Like, I don't like losing to a guy that I was beating up for a round or two. That I was obviously the better fighter, but I would prepare a lot different. The pacing was different. I kind of took it as like a side quest, like 2-minute rounds. Oh, that's easy. This. And then after a first round, I was like, oh, this is way different. So
what were some of those stark differentials particularly? I mean, obviously it being bare knuckle, Trevor Bradshaw talked about how it's, you know, you kind of start right in front of each other. You're in the phone booth to kick things off. What were some of those things that were difficult to adjust to in there?
Just for me, it's being patient. Like I literally threw 100% power on every shot, trying to finish the guy and he didn't fall down. And I thought the 2-minute rounds was going to be easy, but this, the pacing, like you have to like push the pace with the 2-minute rounds if you want to win the round, I guess. And I got a lot more tired than I should have. And I would definitely train a little different for it. Take it a little more serious, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Did you have any regrets when you were exiting that ring thinking to yourself, man, I really should have, you know, prepped more leading into this?
Yeah. And more like, I was in good shape. Don't get me wrong. I did train hard, but just being patient and not brawling. You can be in the best shape of your life, but if you go out there and just throw a bunch of punches as hard as you can and you're missing, like no matter how good a shape you're on, you're going to get tired if you don't have a pace. So that's where the mistake I made. I didn't pace myself and I just brawled. Like, I don't know, something about having the bare knuckles, man, brought me back to my high school days and street fighting and stuff, you know?
It nice to have the likes of Trevor Bradshaw as well as Ben Moe and other names who you have fought on these cards with over the years? Was it nice to have them in the back, or was it kind of surreal for all of you to be like, we're here at this giant show? It's not Fierce, but we're in the Maverick Center, like kind of differentiating the two, I should say.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it didn't feel any different to me. It was all good. Like it seemed normal. 'Cause I sat there with Ben most of the time and we just laughed and joked around and hung out. So it seemed about normal.
Last thing about BKFC, is there plans to do that in 2024? What does the future and the forecast look like for you in terms of BKFC?
Listen, man, I just have a hard time when people offer me money to fist fight. So if they hit me up with a good offer, I'll probably take it. Like and that's with any promotion, MMA. I did get offered a fight for Game Bread, bare knuckle MMA, but it was short notice. And then I had already committed to this fight too, but that's an option too. I think that'd be really fun too.
What kind of, I mean, that's, I've heard a lot of different things about that, but in your, from your perspective, how much does that change your game considering, you know, it's easier to grapple earlier on because you don't have the gloves and things like that. Is that something that really excites you and something you hope to do in the future?
Yeah. I mean, it would be fun. Like, I don't know, just fighting is really, whoever's going to pay me money to fight is where I'm going to go. So,
well, one of the big things that I wanted to talk to you about, one of the new developments over the last couple of months since we last chatted, was you are now one of the mainstay coaches over at Excite MMA, had great success this past Saturday up in Ogden, Utah. What was it like to kind of get yourself in with Carson Hardman and the rest of those over in Lehigh?
Yeah, no, it was good. Carson just had hit me up and was asking, saying they needed like a wrestling coach for their fight team and if I'd be willing to come help out, and went and met with him, and it just worked out. And they got some tough guys over there. They work really hard and they want to learn. So, you know, I'm all in for them. Like, if they want to learn, I'll help them all I can.
What would you say is your diagnosis of the gym? You kind of mentioned there's a lot of tough fighters over there. What are some of the things that you're hoping to instill with your time at Excite?
They all want to learn, and they're all willing to learn, and they're all willing to do the extra work. And they're, I mean, obviously they all have great cardio when they come into fights, and they have this expectation when they go into fights, they have stuff that they have to do like before Carson's going to let them fight. So I like that. And then just helping them, giving them my experience and helping their mindsets and their technique going into the fights.
We saw a big embrace between you and Nico Suiskun. I'm sure there's a slew of fighters in that gym that you're really looking forward to cornering. Is there any name that flies off the page that comes to mind immediately that you're really looking forward to helping develop and really grow their game over the next few months?
Yeah, I mean, Nico is one of them. I like in the gym, like, he's scrappy as hell. He's fun to be around. He's a cool kid. But you never know when somebody has their first fight, how they're going to react. If they're just going to go in there and just game plan goes out the window, or if they're going to fight. And he was calm and fought great. And I mean, obviously they got some killers out of that, like Cross Hughes and Michael Eastwood. They're both like, I think, some of the two best ones in that gym, and they can really go anywhere they want, really. So I'd be excited to help them guys out too.
Michael Eastwood is one that really interests me, considering that you're more on the wrestling side of things. He obviously has that wrestling background. What impresses you about him coming off of this title loss just a couple of months ago?
He got in there and he showed that he wasn't afraid to throw some hands either. Like, he didn't back down. And I mean, that Nasir Davis dude caught him pretty good. I mean, that guy's a killer. Michael's talented, man. He's there at the gym. He's prepared every day. He's there early. He's putting in that extra work and he wants it. So yeah, I'm excited for him too.
You know, you get your sparring in at Agema, you train primarily, and your home is still Elite Performance, I would say. Is that fair to say? And also now you are coaching at Excite. How do you deal with the schedule of all of these different gyms? I mean, from Agema down to Jeremy's, I mean, that's about a 45-minute drive between the three of those gyms. How have you been dealing with just kind of that busy schedule and being in all of these different gyms?
Man, I've just embraced it, and my wife's helped me a ton. Like, and then I'm also doing strength and conditioning, and that's in like Mill Creek. So that's, you know, I get off work on a Monday, hit strength conditioning, drive straight to Carson's gym and teach. And that's like my Wednesday too. I have like three different workouts, you know, just it's busy during the week. I don't have like one free second. It's just literally going from one gym to the next to whatever. I mean, my wife saved me. She helps me with my food, my everything else around the house, taking care of everything just so I can focus on training and taking care of that.
This might be an odd question, but you've been fighting now for 12 years. Would you say that right now is the busiest you've ever been throughout your entire fighting career?
Yeah, probably. Trying to think back, but yeah, I've always been like, what, one or two fights a year, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah. One of the big things I wanted to ask you about, talking about Agema and Elite Performance and Excite, also doing some strength and conditioning with Paul Longworth. What do you make of Utah MMA kind of all coming together? A lot of people have different takes on this, some good, some negative. But what do you think about just kind of the joining of all of these different forces and all these different talents that are here in Utah and kind of bringing them, not necessarily under one umbrella, but being cordial with one another and sharing the room? I mean, Carson, you two have fought for titles in the past against each other.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a good thing to me. Like, when I was in Factory X out in Denver, there was 30 fighters on the mat every night. I had 10 guys that were welterweight that were all high level pros. I didn't need to go anywhere else. Like, I had all my training partners there. But if you think about in Utah, like, name five pro middleweights that have as many fights, and there's no one that has as many fights as me. Or like there's a handful of us. So in my mind, why are we just going to like train at our separate gyms and maybe fight each other when we should work together and get each other better and fight these other guys from out of state or wherever? Like we don't, Utah's not as big as a Vegas or a Denver. So in my mind, if we all come together, we can help each other out, and that's going to get us all better instead of like having these weird gym cliques where we're going to, oh, we got to stay here and we're going to fight each other. Yeah, there's just not enough people, not enough fighters, I guess, to do that, in my opinion.
I think it's a really, really great culture that's kind of a changing of the guard, I would say, we've seen over the last 18 months or so, headed by, you know, you, Marco, and so many others who are really doing that and kind of traveling and working with each other. You made your pro debut at the UCCU Center nearly 10 years ago. What was it like when you found out that you were going to be headlining a show in which you made your pro debut 10 years prior?
Oh man, I'm stoked. Like I was happy. As soon as Zach told me they was going back there, I was like, I have to get on this card. So put me on it. And then they put me as the main event. So that's, yeah, 10 years ago, I was making a pro debut and now we're headlining the thing. So yeah, a lot of good memories at that place. I mean, I did state wrestling in high school there. Like, and then I made my pro debut. It's a special place for me.
Is there anything specific that you kind of remember that's different? I mean, you fought in nearly every venue that Utah has hosted fights over your tenured career. Is there anything specific about UCCU that you like that you're looking forward to in terms of the live crowd, in terms of just getting there and checking in? Is there anything that sticks out?
No, not really. I mean, a fight's a fight. You know, the venue's all the cage. Once you get in the cage feels the exact same as, you know, there is, it's going to fill in the Maverick Center or wherever else. No, I don't know. It's, I just have good memories there. Like I would go there when Showdown was going, I'd be there supporting all my, like we would go watch every Clay Collard fight. We'd go to every one of those shows. So just the memories there. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, you bring up something very interesting, the memories, the history. And I mean, you've been in this game for a long time. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, if you could break down your top five Utah fighters at large all time, who do you think would be on that list?
Oh, there's a lot, man. I mean,
I hate to put you on the spot.
I mean, obviously you're going to have like four, like he's been what in the UFC since 2010, probably. And he's still there. So he's got to be there. I mean, Sean O'Connell, he's one of them. He was in the UFC. Like he's one of the best fighters. God, top five. I don't know, man. There's so many. Siler, I mean, he's been at the top of the sport. Who else? I mean, Jeremy Horn, bro. But he was kind of a thing before he came to Utah. So. How many I got? I'm having a hard time thinking of names. Give me some ideas.
You've got Court, you've got Sean O'Connell, Steven Seiler, Jeremy Horn. I'm thinking Ramsey Nijem. I'm thinking, I mean, like
oh, there's Clay Collard. Like he's still doing the thing too. Like he's probably one of the most talented fighters we've had come out of here. So
is there anyone on the horizon that you're looking forward to that you think does have the intangibles to get to that next level, whether it be you, Kent, Joel Haro, anyone that comes to mind?
Oh man, I think like Joel's fighting, like he's got a good record. I don't know how old, he's still pretty young. Like he has good future. Man, I think one to look out for is Chris Ventura that Marco trains. Just like watching his fights up in Idaho, which I mean, that didn't go his way. I mean, it did to a point, but just watching him train and for him being an amateur, like he has all the skill sets in the world. I think that kid probably going to be one of the best fighters in Utah, like especially once he starts getting active with it. I mean, there's so many of us that are right there that can make it. Just getting the right fights and the right names and the right people watching, I guess. Like, we all have the talent.
April 20th will be your first time defending as a champion. Does that bring any additional nerves, or are you entering this like any other fight that you have ever had?
Yeah, just any other fight, man. The title's cool, but we're just fighting somebody for money, really. Like it's cool, yeah. But wow. No, it's not any different to me.
Last question from me. What can the fans and all those watching look forward to on April 20th with you making your return to the cage?
It's gonna be a fight, man. I don't I don't think I've ever been in a boring fight. Like, so my fighting style don't really allow it. So we're going to, they can expect a good fight, like win, lose or draw. Greg Ellis is a stand-up fighter. I like to stand up. So we'll see, man.
10 wins, 10 finishes, all by knockout. This guy is can't miss MMA, and he will be occupying the top of the marquee on April 20th, live from the UCCU Center in Orem, Utah. The Fierce FC middleweight champion, Mike Jones. Thank you so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, bro.